It was 1992, the Barcelona Olympics. And Derek Redmond of Great Britain was the favourite to win the 400-metre sprint. He made semi-finals. He lines up against seven other competitors. He kneels down poised. Here's the gun and he races. And he sets off and his body's like a machine. He's going so fast, the other competitors are falling behind him. As he gets around the corner though, he hears a pop. He feels a pop in his leg. His hamstring's gone and he falls to the ground. In great pain and agony, he lies there. The other runners run past him to the finish line. Derek gets up, continues the race. Oh, so slow, with so much pain. Tears are rolling down his eyes as he keeps running or walking this race. People come out, offering him help, stretchers. Says, no, I must finish the race. First aid officer says, do not move. He says, no, I must finish the race. His dad runs out from the stands, past security guards, onto the track, and says to his son, look, you don't have to do this. Derek responds, yes, I do. The star replies to his son, well, if you're going to finish the race, we'll finish it together. And he put his arm around his son, and both him and his son walked to the finish line, with the crowd cheering throughout the Olympic Stadium. Reminds me of us as Christians. When we face struggles, difficulties in life, who do we cling on to? Do we just stay on the ground and say it's all too hard? Or do we cling on to our Father, our Heavenly Father, the God Almighty? Do we trust Him enough with our problems? Do we trust Him with our concerns and worries and needs? Can I give my life to Him and say, whatever you want to do, I trust you? No matter how hard and how painful it is. And the key to that is faith. Do I have faith in my Almighty God? Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you again that you are the all-powerful, almighty, all-present, all-knowing God. We thank you for your holiness and perfection. We thank you that we can come here tonight as your church, desiring to be fed by your word. May you speak to us through your word tonight. Challenge us, change us, mold us to leave this building tonight, be more like your son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The Bible talks a lot about faith. There's weak faith, strong faith, bold faith. There is steadfast faith. People have a dead faith, a precious faith, a working faith, an obedient faith. But Jesus only talks about two people in the whole scriptures who had a great faith. Not religious leaders, not disciples. The first one is a Roman centurion in Matthew 8. He comes to Jesus and asks for healing for his servant. And Jesus says this to the Roman centurion. Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And the second person is this woman. She comes to Jesus and verse 28 says, O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let me ask the question, what made her faith great? What made it stand out above everybody else for Jesus to make that statement? And tonight we're going to look at four aspects of her faith that made her stood out. Four aspects we need to have in our own lives if we strive to have a great faith. The first element is this. She had a faith that overcomes barriers. She had a faith that overcomes barriers. Verse 21, 22. Then Jesus went out from there and he parted to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. What's happening here? What's the setting here? Jesus departs. He's been busy during public ministry in Galilee. Rapidly, pressure's mounting upon Jesus. Crowds are getting bigger and bigger upon Jesus. He's just fed the 5,000. People want him to take over the Roman Empire to lead them victory. People are confused. People are saying this is the one who's going to conquer things for us. He also faced the upcoming execution. Even Herod, who killed John the Baptist, saying, Is this Jesus, John the Baptist, who's been risen from the dead? There was confusion about who Jesus was. The religious leaders are saying, We need to trick Jesus, ask Jesus all these different questions. He's tired. He's worn out. He needs rest. So he draws from Galilee to his region here in verse 21 of Tyre and Sidon. Cooler weather. Out of the area where people were going to chase after him. A place to relax. Herod had no jurisdiction over him there. It just leaders would not follow him there. In the foothills and the mountains of nowadays Lebanon, he would sit there with a cool breeze having a rest. Disciples came to be refreshed with him. And as they rest, as they have a time to recharge their batteries, this woman comes along. And we see the barrier she faces in verse 22. She was a woman of Canaan. And she cries out, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. Why does she face barriers? Well, firstly, in that society at that time, women were seen as downclassed. They were seen just higher intellect than an animal. A woman was not allowed to speak to a man in public, not even a wife to a husband. A woman would never speak to a rabbi or a teacher in public. She could not speak to these men. But she comes down to these men knowing the culture. The same as the Samaritan woman in John 4. So I was asked Jesus' question, why did you speak to that woman? You know the rules. You know what society says. You know the culture. You can't speak to this woman. But she comes. She's desperate. Her young daughter is severely demon-possessed. She could not fix the problem herself. And somehow, this woman heard about Jesus. Heard about he's the one who can perform miracles. He's the one who can solve the problem. He is the only hope she has. And she comes not caring about culture, not caring about the rules of the day, not caring about society, but says, I need to see Jesus. My faith overcomes barriers because he's the one who can make a difference. Not only was she a woman, she also came from Canaan. a large, prosperous country. Some say named after the man called Canaan, who's the grandson of Noah. They worshipped false gods. They were vile. God tells his people in Deuteronomy 7 these words. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, which he's from, the Perizzites and the Hivites and Jebusites, seven nations greater than you, when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them, utterly destroy them, make no covenant with them, or show mercy to them. You must not talk to these people. You must destroy everything, the Old Testament said. And this woman comes. Not part of Israel. Not a part of God's people. Not brought up in God's word. Does not tend in tabernacles. Does not offer sacrifices to God. Has little idea what's going on. But she comes with a faith that overcomes barriers. She said, I just need to see Jesus. He's the only one who can help me in my problem. And same for us, each one of us here tonight. We will face barriers. At work, in our families, financially, health issues, loneliness. Who do we turn to in those situations? The barriers seem so high. The problems seem much higher. Who do I turn to? I can turn to family and friends, yes. I can turn to wiser people, yes. But a straight faith overcomes these barriers and says, I trust God with my life. I trust him with my problems. I trust him with my circumstances. I have a faith that says, even though I'm sad and sorrowful, even though I don't see a way out of the situation, the barrier's too high, I have a God who can do anything. And this woman had that faith in Jesus. She said, I don't care what people say. I don't care what persecution I might face or punishment I might face. My daughter has a problem. And my faith, she says, tells me I must seek Jesus no matter what. Great faith overcomes barriers. But secondly, I've seen this portion. She had a faith that is focused. A faith that is focused. Her poor daughter has demons possessing her. She comes to Jesus. In verse 22 again, we see the plea. She says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. She knew she didn't deserve Jesus' help. She knew she was unworthy. She knew the only hope she had is that Jesus had mercy upon her and her children. She could have come demanding. Hey, Jesus, you have power. I've heard about your power when you fed the 5,000, when you walked on water. I heard you can do it. Do it for me. I demand you to do it. She could have did that. She doesn't. She pleads. Have mercy. Have compassion upon me, O Lord. Unworthiness. And she focuses not on her own goodness, but on the goodness of Jesus. Interesting too, she calls him son of David. An Israel term. Son of David, the Almighty One, the sovereign and powerful God. And she comes and says, you are the Lord. You are the Master. Have mercy upon me. I have no other hope. You're the one who can save my daughter. She focused on Jesus. Again, do we focus on Jesus when we face problems? In heartache, do I focus on Jesus? So the problem we have today's society is this. We're taught to be independent. Do things yourself. Work out things yourself. But Jim Berg reminds us in his book, Change His Image, a very important truth. He says this, trusting in our own way defies the most basic fact of man's creation. Here's the fact. God made man dependent. God made man dependent on God. We can't do things ourselves. We can do some things ourselves, but in the all everyday life, in our strength, our abilities, we can't do everything, but we try. And the barriers get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I focus on the problem, I focus on my own strength, my own ability, and I fail. Where this woman comes, and she focuses on Jesus. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. And we see the problem here explained in verse 22 again. She loved her daughter dearly. I said they worship false gods. We're not told whether she worshipped Baal first, asked him to solve the issue. We're not told who she tried to help her out. But she had nothing left. She came to Jesus and says, "You're all I have. You're all I have. Nothing else I can do." She's desperate. Her daughter is demon possessed. And throughout scripture, we see what demons can do. Sickness, inability to speak, epileptic symptoms, blindness that made people become evil, depressed, personality changes, aggression and strength. And this poor young girl is severely possessed. You imagine the woman looking at her daughter every day thinking, "What can I do? No one can fix my daughter." And she's being controlled by his demons. But her great faith says, "I must focus on Jesus. Jesus is the one who can solve the issue. He understands my problems. He understands what's going on here. These false gods knew nothing because they're false gods. But Jesus, who understands my problem? He's dealt with it before. I have faith in this one called Jesus." She also had a faith that was persistent. A faith that was persistent. Verse 23 and verse 24 on the surface looks like her request is being not noticed. We see the request from the disciples in verse 23. "But he answered her not a word. The disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" Disciples, they're tired, worn out. This woman comes and says, "Have mercy upon me, son of David." The disciple says, "Jesus, send her away. Get rid of her. She should not be here. She's not even an Israelite. She's a Canaanite. She's a woman, not a man. Let's get her out of the picture." Some say they might have thought she was a nuisance to Jesus, annoying Jesus. "Jesus, get rid of her." Some people believe that maybe disciples are thinking, "Jesus, you left the business of ministry, business of healing people who have a rest, and this woman's coming. Get rid of her. Send her away. Send her away." Some commentators believe that the disciple is saying, "Give her what I want, what she wants, and tell her to go her way." Now, if you're the woman right now, and you're desperate for your daughter to be healed, and your faith believes that Jesus can do it, and you hear his best friends, the 12 disciples, say, "Jesus, get rid of her," would your faith be shaken? Would you doubt the faith you had in Jesus? Would you leave? Would you go away? And to add to that, we see a response from Jesus as well in verse 23 and 24. He says, verse 23, "He answered her not a word." He says nothing. He hears the requests. He hears the desperation. I can imagine the tears in her eyes. He hears it. His disciples say, "Send her away." And he says not a word. Doesn't say anything. Sometimes our faith is tested when we hear nothing. We pray and we pray and we pray to God for a circumstance, for a sickness, for someone to be saved, and we see nothing. How do we respond to that? How do we respond to that? We could say, "Are you hearing me, God?" We could say, "Do you care enough for me, God, to answer my prayer?" We could say, where are you, God, in situation? But a great faith says this. God has said, wait. Or God has said, no. I've got to carry on and not give up. This woman does not hear a word from Jesus, but does not leave. She stays and waits to hear what's going to happen. Then verse 24. Jesus says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, I'm not here for this woman. I'm here for Israel, for God's people. I'm not here for those from Canaan. I'm here for Israel. Again, it appears he says, I want nothing to do with this lady. I'm here for God's people. Again, how are you feeling with the woman? How will her faith be now? Jesus does not want to help me. On the surface, he's only here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She could have got angry. Could have said, Jesus, I've heard about you, of your compassion, your love, and I don't believe it because look, you won't help me. Jesus, I heard you had the power to heal demons. I don't believe it because you won't help my daughter. Jesus, you're a fraud. You're a liar. You're just like all the other gods. But she doesn't do that. Her faith, her great faith, she stands there. She hears the response from Jesus. Hears what he said. But she doesn't give up. She's persistent. We all face problems. Whether it's children or teenagers or adult children. But does our faith stay persistent? Do I continue to trust God when I don't hear anything from my prayers? Or it appears nothing's happening? Do I stay strong? Or do I give up? This woman stayed strong. She didn't leave. Didn't get angry. Didn't yell, it's not fair. Because we see that she had a faith that was humble. A faith that was humble. Verse 25 to verse 28, a wonderful verse of this lady's great faith. Verse 25, she comes and she worships him saying, Lord, help me. A faith that is humble. She comes to Jesus. Disciple says, go away. Jesus says, I'm here for the house of Israel. And you're a Canaanite woman. And she bows down, worships Jesus and says, Lord, help me. Lord, I am unworthy. I can't do anything myself. You are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. It's quite amazing for a Gentile to say that at this time of the society. You're no ordinary man. You can heal my daughter. Lord, help me. That's an amazing faith. Amazing faith. Many of us would have given up. Many of us would have said it's too hard. She says, no, I don't care what society says. I hear your disciples. I hear what you say, Jesus. But help me. Lord, help me. You're the one who can do it. An act of worship. Jesus declares in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Do we humble ourselves each day by faith in the hands of God and say, God, today use me for your glory. Lord, help me today with my words. Lord, help me today as a husband and wife. Lord, help me today as employer or employee. Lord, help me today share the gospel. Lord, I come to you, help me today. That is great faith. That is worship. Then we see a declaration from Jesus. It's truly amazing. Verse 26, he answers the woman. It says, it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to little dogs. There's two different meanings for the word dogs, New Testament. There were the vicious dogs that would run around in packs, getting all wild food and destroying things. But his context refers to a household pet, sometimes treated as a family member. And what would happen is the master would have a big feast and they would throw a few crumbs on the floor for a little dog to eat. A little crumb from a big meal. And a woman hears this statement from Jesus, it's not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she knew that Jesus referred to the Gentiles as being little dogs. The children's bread is Israel, the children's Israel, and the dogs the Gentiles. But she saw it different than what people would normally see it. She understands what Jesus is saying here. She understands the illustration from Jesus. And look at verse 27. She says this, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Saying this, I believe, Jesus, even a little crumb of your power, a little minute crumb of your power can save my daughter. A minute crumb of your holiness and your love and compassion can save my daughter. I just want a little bit of your crumb to save me. A little bit to make a difference. I don't want the whole table. I want a little crumb of your power to save my daughter. And verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Great is your faith. You overcome barriers. What society said, what culture said. You had a faith that was focused. You focused on Jesus the whole time. Even though he didn't say a word. You had a faith that persistent. You kept going and going and going and going. Even the disciples said, go away. You stayed. But you had a humble faith. Even a crumb from that table is enough, Jesus. Just give me a crumb. That's all I need for you to save my daughter. I praise God that we have a crumble of the gospel. That the crumb's enough to save me from my sins because of who Jesus was. So Christian, how is your faith today? Do we strive to have a great faith? I'm amazed by faith. I think about faith all the time and I read about faith all the time. It fascinated me that our whole eternity is based on faith. Our whole eternity is based on God's word is true. And we put our faith in Jesus, never met face to face before. And all our eternity is based on faith. What he said, what he did, and what he's going to do. Faith is amazing. And this woman's faith, from a foreign land, different culture, different society, his faith stood out. And Jesus said, great is your faith. If Jesus would walk through those doors tonight and to each one of us, what would he say about our faith? Would he say, our faith is weak, our faith needs to improve? Or could he say to us, great is your faith? My challenge for each one of us here tonight is this. Increase our faith. How? Be in his word. Study his word. Be in prayer. And then test it out. God, help me today. God, help me serve you today and be amazed. It's just a crumb. The difference you can make in this world because God is with you. How great is your faith? Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you again for the example of this woman from different society, different culture, knowing that she could not speak to Jesus without any precautions, but she came. Her faith overcome the barrier to speak to Jesus because her faith told her that Jesus is the only hope she had. Thank you, her faith was focused on Jesus. Not on the false god she knew, but Baal, not from what she'd been taught as a child, but she knew that Jesus is the answer to her need. Thank you, persistent. The disciples told her to go away. Jesus did not answer her a word. Jesus declared he came for the house of Israel. She stood there. And she humbled herself and worshipped Jesus and asked, Lord, help me. Thank you, she knew just a crumb of Jesus' power was enough to heal her daughter. And due to her faith and the compassion of Jesus, her daughter was healed. Loving Father, increase my faith. Increase our faith. To have a great faith. That whatever we face in this world, that we depend upon you for everything. Our lives will be in your hands to do as you wish. Oh Lord, increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.